You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Another third down conversion coming up here on the afternoon so far as we start the fourth quarter with the Dukes up 27-14. 50% the third down completion rate for the Duquesne offense. Now with a third down and a long three from their own 45-yard line. Bekele letting it go again. Crossing pattern up in the air. Intercepted, picked off by Martinez. At the 40, 35. He's got some blockers in front. Down to the 20, 15. Martinez cuts back against the grain. Gets to the far side numbers. Down inside the 10-yard line. That is the big play Monmouth has been waiting for all afternoon long. Teddy Martinez with the pick and the long return, first and goal for MU from the Duquesne 6-yard line.
The Duquesne receivers, Matt, have not made many mistakes at all this afternoon. That one was the play. The one who's been so good, Chris King, had to go off of his hands up into the air. Teddy Martinez, who's earned his way onto the field with his biggest play in a Monmouth uniform, setting the Hawks up in great field position here to try to cut into this Duquesne lead. First play of the fourth quarter.
Chaney will stay on again as the back. Morrow as the fullback here in a two-back set, which will be a wildcat. Chaney looking to get the direct snap. Slaps the hands together. Has Morrow leading the way. Off tackle left side. Chaney pounding his way down. Stretching out. He is in for the score. One play, a 6-yard drive for MU, and Monmouth has cut it to 27-20 here early on in the fourth quarter.
It started with the defense, the big play by Martinez on the King drop, and then Chaney finds the end zone, that line paving enough way to get him in. And that's the way you start a fourth quarter.
Chaney with the score, his second rushing touchdown of the season. MU again lines up to the left here on the extra point. We'll rotate the offensive lineman over, and Santangelo will try to cut it to six. Swing in momentum here, certainly for Monmouth. They have scored the last two touchdowns, and the extra point here is up and boom through the uprights. Hits off one of the buildings that surrounds the field here in Pittsburgh. 27-21. Duquesne up top. Monmouth has come fighting back here with 14 straight. We'll hold here with 14:42 to go in this fourth quarter. Exactly the resolve you were hoping for out of this Monmouth team.
We've been calling for it all day. When you get a chance to make a play, you've got to make it. You can't beat yourself and capitalize on momentum. That's what this team now has done. The final couple of drives, the defense came up with the big play. They forced the third down. Then on third down, Chris King comes up with a big drop, popped up into the air. Teddy Martinez not only makes the pick, takes it about 40 yards in the scoring position. And then first play, Chaney can kind of sniff the end zone out. He's able to get behind his line and dive in. So now what was 27-7, team looking flat and out, is now 27-21 and a brand new contest here at Rooney Field.
Chaney's eighth carry of the day goes for 6 yards, has 33 now on the day. A quick scoring drive. Great job, Teddy Martinez, as Monmouth will kick off here again. 14:42 to go in the fourth quarter. Santangelo will put it again at the 35-yard line, right smack dab in the middle of the field. Has five players on either side. Back deep is Devin Romming. Capers on one side, King on the other. They both stand around the 10-yard line. Santangelo here will pop this up. It will make the second level. Capers will field it at the 19. Has a hole off the left side. Capers with good speed gets to midfield and gets run out by the kicker, Santangelo. So after Duquesne back on their heels a little bit, special teams can play such a huge role in momentum swings. And credit Wayne Capers there with a big play. It will be Duquesne football at the Monmouth 36.
And now Monmouth has expelled so much energy to get back into the game. And on that play, a lot of that momentum zooms back over to Duquesne. Because now the Dukes, even if they're only able to get three, you make it a two-score game again. This is a huge, huge drive right now with the score 27-21.
Kind of a tweener kick there. You almost have to hit it a little bit less or just boom it away. Fielding it by Capers at the 20-yard line, probably not in the game plan.
There were only three guys on the second level, but Santangelo kicked it too deep.
Here is Bekele under pressure here, dumping it down over the middle. Another bobbled catch, but able to hang on to it was number 9, Marcus Hughes, out of the backfield. He'll get to the 30-yard line. That's a gain of six to set up second and four, 14-15, and rolling here in the fourth quarter. Can the Monmouth defense come up with another big stop and keep Duquesne out of the end zone? They haven't been there since late in the second quarter. Thomas in motion from right to left across the formation. Sets up twins either way. Now Thomas directed by Beekel to go back to the right side. Trips now right, single man left. Low snap. Give is to Hughes. Stacked up with the line of scrimmage, falling forward for a one-yard pickup. There is a flag down, thrown quickly, which usually is an indication of a hold. This one, Monmouth will certainly take and push back.
You know, O'Hara for Monmouth clapping after he saw that flag thrown. So obviously he, the one who was held, so now Duquesne gets pushed back. And that's big because this initial drive had them in great field position. Now, if you could stop them in a negative play near the line of scrimmage, scoring necessarily isn't now a foregone conclusion like maybe it was a play ago.
Would have been third and four, now second and 14. Hawks will go nickel with four wide receivers into the game. Single back with Beekel is Ho. Again, movement up front, and this will again go against Duquesne. Back them up five more and set up second and 19. Buchholz had the first penalty on the hold. Sui Valleja with that last one to back him up and make it second and 19. So the Dukes going the wrong way. Still have it in Monmouth territory at the Hawks 45.
And he was hurt, so came back into the game. That time Monmouth looked to be showing A-gap pressure from McDonough. Duquesne jumped there, now second and 19.
And taking a long time here in between the penalty and the play. Clock is down to five. I'm not sure if Beekel sees it. He's taking his time to down to two. Still moving players around and going to have to use a timeout. Saw it at just the last second. And the Dukes will have to burn a timeout there. Second, they'll have one remaining with 13-11 in the fourth quarter. We'll step out for 30 seconds. It's Duquesne 27, Monmouth 21. You're listening to Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Fans, the Monmouth Hawks would like to thank their premier sponsors and good friends throughout this football season. World Subaru, Coca-Cola, McClune's, the Asbury Park Press, and Barnabas Health Monmouth Medical Center.
Second down and 19 off the timeout. 13 minutes, 11 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Duquesne up 27-21 on Monmouth. Beekel gets the snap, flies it to the far side. Catch is made by King at the 40-yard line, wrapped up there by Marcus Leslie. 5-yard pickup on another one of those long throws across the field. Monmouth will certainly give 5 yards up in that situation. Set up now third and 14 in what could be, depending on this third down, four-down territory for Duquesne.
Absolutely. Ball's at the plus 40. You're probably not going to punt from this area. If they pick up any positive yardage, look for them to stay on the field.
Wayne Capers, number two, a wide receiver, has checked in at the halfback spot. Now we'll motion out of it. Empty backfield, three left, two right for Beekel. Send all five into the pattern. Stop, let it go. Down the far side, he's got a man open. Capers just out of reach. Mismatch that was identified well. John Sikowski had to run step for step for Wayne Capers. That is not a good matchup for Monmouth. But with the incompletion, sets up fourth and 14. And the punt team actually will come on here with a full 14 yards to go. And Patrick Dill will try and pin Monmouth deep in their own end.
Great play design by Duquesne. They got the matchup they wanted. Ball was just dropped. It was that easy. And if you're Monmouth, you dodged one on that play. 12:24 to go.
Dill catches it. No rugby kick this time. Hangs it in the air. It will go out of the end zone and come out for a touchback. And, you know, think back to that last play. Not much that Sikowski could do with it. I mean, that's his guy. Just Capers faster in a 40-yard sprint.
Well, you called it. You said the receiver in the backfield. And normally Sikowski's going to pick up whoever that running back is. It just happened to be a receiver. That's why I credit the Dukes for out-scheming Monmouth on that play. They just weren't able to execute. And that's why the Hawks will get it back now with momentum on their side. Two unanswered scores for the Hawks after trailing 27-7. They're now just down by six.
Who would have thought after watching that first half, Monmouth could completely swing this game around but they have. Three wide receivers set off to the left. Vallis, one of those guys, as the tight end. Fake to Asante. Here's Davenport to catch the slant route over the right side to the 27-yard line. That is a gain of about seven. Set up second and three. Asante's had a long rest here. Should be fresh if Monmouth can crank up the run game a little bit. Vallis this time, tight end to the left. Stretch play going left. Asante had to cut back. Nothing going to where the play was designed. And at the line of scrimmage, he has taken down Zach Zidian, the All-NEC nose man, with the big play. Rich Bukarski, also an All-NEC guy, holding his right leg. He remains down on the field, so play will stop here for just a second.
While we have this brief pause in the action, we want to remind all Monmouth fans listening to order your official, fully custom Hawks gear at one location, shopmonmouthhawks.com. It has everything from actual gear, tailgating accessories, the whole thing. If you're a Monmouth fan, you get your customizable gear at one place, shopmonmouthhawks.com.
Pekarski being tended to, 6'2". 187-pound senior, been a big part of this program from Hudson, Ohio. He's up and will get a little bit of help coming off the field.
As he leaves the field, to an applause here with the athletic training staff. Full day on campus tomorrow. Both field hockey, women's soccer are at home. Men's soccer on the road today and Tuesday to end their non-conference slate. For all info,
afternoon game today for them?
Believe so. Invite you to follow along at MU Hawks on Twitter for information. MonmouthHawks.com for everything.
Third and three for Hill. Rush coming. Far side catch is made by Davenport. He'll step out of bounds just over the first down mark at the 30-yard line. It'll be enough to move the chains, keep the drive alive. 11:37 to go in the fourth quarter. Duquesne 27, Monmouth 21.
At their own 30-yard line.
Asante, the single back in the formation. Vallis, the tight end, into the pattern. Pump once for Hill. Down the near side. Davenport catches it off a deflection. And that will be a big play for Monmouth off just a hard luck play from Malik Shagag, the freshman corner who had it, would have been an easy interception.
Matt, since halftime, everything has been going MU's way. They've got to capitalize on this. They're getting the breaks now as they try to mount and complete this comeback.
Hill, play action again. Again, Davenport the target. Again, Davenport will make the catch. And this time, Lamar able to hang on to it and get great extra yardage, just using the strength to push things forward. Chagong there again on the coverage. This is going to be close to another first down. They'll put it down. The chains took a while to catch up to that last play. They'll put it down inside the 34, close to the 33. And it'll be second down and about one.
And without Sterling this second half, Davenport has really started to assert himself as Hill's favorite target. Hawks moving.
Ambush and Richards near sideline left. Davenport again up top. Drawing single coverage to the right. Monmouth with an open playbook, you'd think, here on second and about a half a yard. Asante sets himself to the left side of the formation. Now goes back to the right. Play clock down to three. Hill will use a timeout. Something just wasn't right there, but better safe than sorry. And Monmouth will use just their first timeout of the half. 10:29 to go here in the fourth quarter. 27-21. Duquesne on top. Been keeping an eye on, just for fun, not really of any local interest unless you're a Pittsburgh person, right up the road at Heinz Field. Good game going on, too. Fourth quarter, Pittsburgh leading Iowa by a score of 20-17.
Focus things onto some of the teams we were talking about before. You mentioned that soccer game, Monmouth and Villanova today, was a 1 p.m. go of it down just outside of Philadelphia. And with the second half underway at Villanova, Monmouth trails the Wildcats 1-0. That was a late first half goal for Villanova. I invite you to follow along on Twitter at Monmouth Soccer there for information, as well as at MU Hawks for all things Monmouth Athletics on Twitter. as well as on our Instagram account, at MU Hawks for everything. Second and one here, 10-19, as we come back out of the timeout.
Matt Choi has checked into the game, slot receiver to the left of the formation. Sumlin off there as well. Hill will walk up, change the play, put Asante on the right side as the single back. Tight ends either way. KB will get it. Inside zone to the right. Going to be very close to a first down. Needs to get fully to the 33-yard line. Looking at where the referees and the linesmen just ran in, it's going to be a little bit short, and now third and a little less than a yard.
Yeah, they're marking it already third down, and, well, it goes without saying this is four down territory. Monmouth taking a long look. Matt, we've seen him run or empty the backfield and throw in this situation, the short yard situation in the game.
Power eye set, offset to the left side. Zach Fable playing in his first game of the season, back off a couple of injuries. Now a split back set. Asante right, Fable to the left. Blitz coming. Asante will get it. Big hole off the left side. Asante will have the first down inside the 30. Get to the 29-yard line off the lead block from Fable, a guy that in Zach Fable was expected to be so counted on going into this season as the real premier tight end in this set. Good to see him back on the field.
Yeah, first action of the year. Really battled with a couple different injuries. That time helped paving the way for Asante's first down carry.
Now in a two tight end set. Fable left, Vallis to the right. Sumlin, a lot of room up top to the right. He'll motion across the formation. Play action to Asante. Hill hanging into the pocket, going to tuck it, flip it, look for Fable. That's an incompletion, and it will set up a second and 10.
I know everyone kind of held their collective breath on that play, but if you're a Monmouth fan, not the worst play. He wanted Sumlin double move down the right seam. Duquesne was all over it. They covered the play from the get-go. Hill recognized that when his check down wasn't there. Tried the little kind of Brett Favre, Derek Jeter backhand flip. Thankfully, no Duquesne defender around.
Davenport and Sumlin now a stack formation off the right side. Fable, tight end left. Vallis has a wing set to the right of the formation. Ball here from the left hash mark. Strength of the Monmouth formation pushed off to the right. 9:06 to go. Duquesne up by six. It's Asante off the left side. KB has had a hard time getting going today. This only about a yard and a half pickup. It will leave Monmouth with a third down and long eight.
And now it's kind of, Matt, an interesting yardage on the field. Do you look at this as two downs to get nine? Or do you got to wait and see? You try a field goal and then make it even less of a one-score game. Monmouth wants to pick it up. Duquesne late with players on and off.
Players all over the place. Hill with some players on either side, and we'll have all kinds of movement. This should be a penalty with too many men on the field, I think, for Duquesne. They were running players off and running players on at the same time. Hill recognized it and snapped the ball.
It's that? Did Duquesne take their final timeout, maybe? I don't know.
There's a flag out. It could actually even be offside, but the Duquesne players are clapping. Let's listen in.
Wow.
Hill's looking for an explanation out of the referee.
Yeah, I don't blame Coach Callahan for wanting an explanation on this one. I kind of want one, too.
I think he might have a better chance of getting one than you.
Fair point. I could call down, though.
8.5 to go with the 5-yard penalty. It'll make it 3rd and 14 for Monmouth rather than 3rd and 9. And again, more than likely, 4-down territory. And I think the explanation here is, when you think about it, it didn't seem like it was even close to being a play clock violation.
Well, and that's the point. As weird as it looked, I'll be honest, I didn't have my eye on the play clock. I was watching the shuffling in and out of the Duquesne players, and they probably had 14 guys on the field when the flag was thrown. Now, if the play clock hit zero, they can have 30 guys on the field. It doesn't matter. But, and obviously, we didn't have our eye on the play clock, and I think that's what Coach Callahan is saying right now.
Discussion still taking place.
It's a long talk.
Well, resolved, and I say that lightly, resolved to the point where it looks as if the referee will come in and have a quick chat with the umpire.
Well, what you're going to have to ask is where did the delay of game flag come from? Who threw that flag? Typically, that's the referee.
He threw it. It was his flag.
So then he's got to ask when the timing of the whole thing occurred, because now he's having a meeting with everyone, and now he's run all the way over to talk to Jerry Schmidt about what's going on, which means maybe he's changing the call. Because if it was as is, he wouldn't get that. And I see Matt players moving forward now. Maybe go giant redo. Just, all right, guys, forget it. We're going to do it again. Don't worry about it.
Kevin Callahan, the Monmouth head coach, he had a long talk with the referee. And now a long talk ensuing on the near side with Jerry Schmidt, the 10th-year head coach, with Jeff Pumphrey. This is going to be interesting because if it goes down to 3rd and 9, I would say, why did you throw the flag, number one? And if it wasn't a delay game,
then it's got to be too many men on the field.
It should be too many men on the field.
Right. Unless they're trying to reach a happy medium. I mean, are we trying to plea bargain this call right now? What's going on?
Sometimes you wish you had a field mic. You could kind of catch what's going on.
I mean, if you want, I can try and...
Jerry Schmidt, I will say this. He doesn't seem to be upset, as visibly upset, as Kevin Callahan was.
There we go.
And it looks like we will go back to 3rd and 9 as if that penalty... No penalty. Wipe it off, and we just go 3rd and 9.
See, which is funny, because someone threw a flag for something. We saw there was too many men on the field. But I guess...
3rd and 9 better than 3rd and 14, which was the original situation for Monmouth. Now the play clock is rolling. Hill has 4 wide receivers to work with, 2 either side, plus LeVon Cheney in the backfield. New set of plays coming in. Hill will alter what he wants. A 4-man front, all standing up for Duquesne. Hill getting the snap, hanging in the pocket, throwing over the middle, wanting Choi. The ball was deflected. And now on 4th and 9, this would be, I think, too long for a field goal from the 29-yard line to be about a 46-yarder. Santangelo has that leg, but with the wind swirling around, it would probably be a tough kick.
Yeah, it's kind of in the face, it would be in the face of Luke, because it's blowing left to right across the field, and offense doing what we would think they would do here, Matt, going for 8:07 to go.
Would have been nice to get something on that 3rd down, so it's not 4th and 9, but that is what Monmouth is dealing with. Play clock inside of 10. Hill with trips off to the right. Wanting Davenport stepping up left. Now Hill flush in the pocket, in trouble, and will get sacked. Ball popping out late. Vallis has it, but they will rule Hill down. And on downs, Duquesne coming up with a big play and forcing a change in downs. Chris Jones, number 8, his first action came in. There is a flag down thrown way down the field. 2 flags. This has the look of defensive holding.
I have a bad feeling that this is an after-the-play penalty on Monmouth.
The play is over. Personal foul.
You're right. That's Eric Sumlin. So we've seen multiple after the play. Sikowski the one, Sumlin here, one other one earlier in the game on a roughing the passer call on Masick. So that's 3 of your oldest guys making plays. That's 45 yards that Monmouth has hurt themselves with.
And we can call it what it is. They're bad mental mistakes, and they're losing plays. When you're trying to come back and win a game, you need guys that are going to make winning plays, as small or big as they could be. Now you set Duquesne up near midfield. It really puts a potential dent in this comeback.
With that 15-yard penalty, Dukes take over on their own 48-yard line. Low snap up the middle. The give here will be to number 30, Rafiq Douglas. Falls to the Monmouth 49 for a pickup of 3. Make it 2nd and 7. Jerzynski and Demetrius Smith on that tackle.
You know, Matt, it's so hard to win a college football game. So many little moving pieces go into it. You really can't have those kind of mistakes. You just can't. Your other team's trying to beat you. You cannot beat yourself.
2nd and 7 at the midway point here of the fourth quarter. Beekel taking his time now. Comes up. He'll let the offensive line know the new play call. Two receivers set either side. Biko gets it. Throws quickly outside. King makes the catch. Wrapped up by Joe Johnson at the 46-yard line. You saw a little adjustment there. Minnick flashed over from the outside linebacker spot. Close to getting a hand on it. Now on a third down and four. Another third down crucial situation. Monmouth defense has held the Dukes to just 3 points in this second half. Looking for a big play here. Forming in front for Monmouth. They don't go nickel on this third down. Have Thompson, McDonough, and Sikowski as the three linebackers. Ed Royds is checked in at the safety spot with Basile, Johnson, and Leslie, the corners. Trips off to the left. Biko going down over the middle. He's got a man open. That's going to be a first down catch for Devin Romming. Found a spot between the linebackers and in front of the secondary players down to the 32-yard line where it'll be first and 10.
Can't allow Duquesne to get really any mat much closer than this. With the Dukes leading by six. Field goal makes this a two-score game. Defense needs to come up with a play. They've been phenomenal here in the second half. They've got to do it again.
Slot receiver combos either way for Biko. Clock moving, six to play in the fourth. Duquesne up by six. Monmouth walking up the backer, six-man front. Inside carry goes for Douglas. Stood up at the line of scrimmage and dropped quickly. Leslie O'Hara among those in on the tackle.
That's a good start right there. Now, Duquesne's content to let this clock tick. The clock right now is a bit of their friend. Still a lot of time left, 5.5 minutes. Monmouth with two timeouts. The Dukes with one timeout. They run Marcus Hughes now into the backfield. And although Beagle's going to get to the line quick, you got to think he's going to continue to change plays. He's not going to snap this ball till under 10 seconds on the play clock at the earliest.
That's where it is right now. He'll motion Dave Thomas across the formation. Set up, trips off to the left. Bubble screen set up. That catch is made by Romney. He'll come all the way across the field to the near side. Down inside the 20 and get inside the 15. Good speed by Romney. That caught Monmouth off their heels a little bit. And it will be first down and 10 from the Hawks' 13-yard line.
Yeah, and that was a great play call by Duquesne. That time, they anticipated the Monmouth blitz. Hawks brought the house. They ran nice little wide receiver screen to Romming, and he came all the way across the field. Big, big play for Duquesne with now under five to go.
Inside the red zone now are the Dukes. First time they've been here, really, this entire second half. Hughes stays in as the single back, receivers either side. Down to 4:35 on the clock. Here's the give to Hughes. Gets maybe a half yard, nothing more than that, to set up second and long.
Tough spot here, Matt, because now Duquesne really is at least in for three, which would potentially give them a 9-point lead. So Monmouth needs to be hitting at the football, trying to strip the football out. I know Duquesne, that's their main priority now is ball security, but that's got to be the Hawks' emphasis right now.
Hughes stays in, single back, formation to the right. Tight end to the left, Romming as the receiver to the right. They look for Romming over the middle, that one incomplete. Miscommunication, quarterback receiver there, and it will bring up a third down. And 10 stops the clock also with 3 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the fourth quarter.
I was just going to say that. Good thing for Monmouth. Clock stops. Third down. Now you've got to hold the Dukes here. If for nothing else, you give yourself more time to potentially come down and try and score. Got to try to strip the football. If not, you've got to limit them to a field goal attempt.
King, a wide man in a trips formation off the left side of the set. Ball from the right hash mark. 3:50 to go in the fourth quarter. Single receiver right is Romming. Quick pass over the middle. Catch is made by Romming. It'll set up fourth down. Puts the ball in the middle of the field for what will be almost a chip shot for Austin Crimmins, who's the preseason All-NEC kicker. This a little bit longer than an extra point.
Yeah, it's really probably all but automatic. Monmouth can try to get as much heat off the edge as they can. But this, as you said, pretty much an extra point to give Duquesne a 9-point lead.
24-yard field goal right in the middle of the field. Pekarski, the holder. Brett Calvin, the long snapper. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and it is good. Makes it a 9-point game, 30-21, 2:59 to go here in this fourth quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawks football in the fourth quarter here from Pittsburgh. You're listening live on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
This is the Shore Sports Network, WOBM Lakewood Township, WABB Asbury Park. Listen online at WOBMAM.com. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
From Rooney Field, Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti. Great job, Brian Cedillo, in the studio today of the Shore Sports Network as we broadcast live from the Steel City, Pittsburgh, PA, part of a three-game road trip for Monmouth. This is the opener. MU has roared back into this one, but now in a two-possession game, trailing 30-21, 2:59 to go. If there was ever a time for a long return, this is it. Chaney and Dumas back deep. Crimmins, who just had the ball fall off the tee, will respot it. Left hash mark at the 35-yard line. Four players off to his left, six to the wide side. His right approaches 35, puts a big boom into this one. This is not going to be returnable. Takes one bounce and goes out of the back of the end zone. Will come out for a touchback to the Hawks' 25-yard line. Monmouth has two timeouts remaining, 2:59 to go in this fourth quarter. Duquesne 30 and Monmouth 21.
And here's the emphasis right now for Monmouth. You are two scores down. And I know that's the captain obvious moment of the game, but if you get down close enough, you don't necessarily need the touchdown now. You need points on this drive. If you get down enough, you think you can try a field goal with a minute 45 to go, regardless of down and distance, try it, because you know you're going to need an onside kickback to get the football going. You're going to have to score two times in 2 minutes and 59 seconds. You got to get down as fast as you can to get either the touchdown or field goal right now.
Hill will work here. Looking to go quick. Quick pass to the outside. Too far outside. The intended target was ambush. It goes out of bounds and incomplete. He set up a second and 10.
Obviously, you can't score without first downs. Middle of the field still in play. A lot of time, 2:55. Two timeouts for Monmouth.
Second and 10 for Hill. Sumlin and Richards, far sideline left. Hill going over the middle looking for ambush. Thrown behind him. Could not make the catch, and that will fall incomplete.
I know a bit behind him, but we've seen big drops. That one, the Davenport one earlier. Got to secure the football.
That one really thrown behind ambush. Had to make a serious adjustment on it. And now on third and 10, MU running out of downs and time. 2:51 to go in the fourth. Hill pushing right, throwing right. Flags are out all over the place. Monmouth had Lamar Davenport get tackled out of bounds. And ambush was hit as well.
I think everyone that has a flag threw one. So we'll get the call here. Probably all looking obviously at the same thing.
Hold.
Defense number 23. Daniel Pedley, all night, first down.
That's Trenton Coles, the Pittsburgh transfer, playing in his first game for Duquesne. A defensive hold on Lamar Davenport. It's an automatic first down. And the ball now spotted out to the 35-yard line. So Monmouth gets plus 10 on the penalty. And a new set of downs to work with.
At their own 35-yard line.
Hill with two receivers either side. Here comes some pressure. Puts this one high in the air. Sumlin with a one-hand catch. And they will say he was juggling the football as he went out of bounds. Flags are down again on the far side. I think it's involving Coles and Davenport again.
They've been jawing all game. Coles doing the majority of said jawing. Because we didn't see the Sumlin play when he went to the turf. Secured it, but then when he rolled, He bobbled it, as we'll get another penalty call here after the conference that's currently taking place at about the 32-yard line.
And four of the seven officials involved in this. Let's listen in.
There are multiple fouls. Huh. Holding defense number 23 at the 10-yard penalty, automatic first down. After the play is over, on sportsmanlike conduct, defense number 23, on sportsmanlike conduct, offense number 2. Those fouls will offset. First down.
Well, Trenton Coles can't continue to hold Lamar Davenport. Actually, he can. That would be great. Let's just keep moving down the field on your penalties and the offsetting personal fouls. So 20 yards here, Monmouth has moved up the field. They've taken up just 18 seconds on the clock, and both of the first downs result of the same penalty. Davenport is checked out here. Matt Choi has come in. Ambush and Choi. Slot receiver combo off the left side of the set. Sumlin and Thaddeus Richards stay near sideline to the left. No tight end in this formation. Cheney the single back, ball from the right hash mark. Here comes a four-man rush for Hill. Hanging in there, finding Choi, who will make the catch about 5.5 yards down the field into Duquesne territory. Stepping out of bounds as well. 2:37 now on the clock, and a 2nd and 4 for Monmouth coming up.
So Monmouth at midfield without a whole heck of a lot of time coming off the clock, as they'll start the clock again now.
Well, again, movement by Duquesne. With that stand-up front four, they'll rush four off the edge. Hill recognizes the pressure. Cannot elude the rush. Coming off the edge was Devin Williams, number 6.
Sacked on the play.
It'll be a loss of a couple. Hill a little slow here to get up. He lost his helmet. Hill will have to check out. He is hurt. Brandon Hill is in pain and we'll have to check out of the game here, and all of a sudden Greg DePew is thrust right into the game.
Well, Hill's going to have to come off because the helmet came off, if he's hurt or not, as DePew will now come in. Now what do you do? 3rd and 6, you got to put it up, you figure, right?
Tough spot for Greg DePew, who gets the football, wants to throw, goes over the middle, looks for ambush. That one short hopped into the turf. And on 4th down, fortunately, at least for Monmouth, from the injury perspective, Hill will come back in. But Monmouth down to likely their last chance to get back into this game. 4th and 6 from their own 49-yard line. They need to get to the Duquesne 45.
Brandon Hill.
Hill checks the defense over. Choi in ambush again. Far sideline to the right, Sumlin and Richards near sideline left. Look for Duquesne to bring pressure. Here they come. Monmouth picks it up. Hill goes over the middle. Choi makes the catch. Not going to have the first down. About 2 yards shy. And Duquesne likely just sealed their 2nd victory of the season, 2nd in a row.
On the crossing route, Choi, I think, thought he would be able to turn up field, get momentum. Young receiver, he'll learn. When you have that happen, you have got to make sure, before that ball's in the air, you're beyond the line to make. It's that simple. And Duquesne, sure tacklers in that back end of their defense, pretty much just stopped Monmouth, as Matt said, to earn this win, barring some kind of freaky miracle if you're a Hawks fan.
Two timeouts remaining for Monmouth. Duquesne will tighten the formation here. Go 2-back set. Ho and Morris into the game. King will motion. It's Ho to get the carry off tackle left side.
Ho on the carry.
Hawks will use a timeout with 1:56 to go. They have one remaining. We'll step out real quick as well. 30-second break with Duquesne up 30-21. 1:56 to go in the fourth. You're listening to Hawks Football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
Follow Monmouth Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Back off the timeout, 1:56 to go in the fourth quarter. Duquesne 30, Monmouth 21. Hawks dug themselves a big hole after going up 7-0. Duquesne rattled off the next 27 points. Monmouth able to battle back, make it 27-21. Duquesne with a big field goal to make it a two-possession game. And now just trying to run the clock out. Here's Ryan Ho. After a gain of one, Monmouth will use their last timeout. And in what is the ninth and at least for now final matchup of this series for the foreseeable future, Monmouth will go out and looks like right now on a two-game losing streak.
And Duquesne will continue. They've won three of four in this series. They snap a three-game losing streak to Monmouth here at Rooney Field. But the bigger number, Matt, and we talked about it in our pregame, is the Dukes, if they're able to hang on, which they should, will improve to 16-2 at home against non-conference opponents under Jerry Schmidt.
It's a good number.
It's a pretty staggering record. And a good program here in Pittsburgh. And I think without seeing the majority of any NEC team, just obviously Wagner, I would say this Duquesne team, and I'm sure Sacred Heart and Bryant will have something to say about this, but the team to beat. Obviously Bryant, big test tonight at Liberty, couple of ranked teams, but I don't know if a team has the playmakers that Duquesne has on the outside in that league.
Third down here and a long eight. Monmouth cannot stop the clock again. Split back set. Ho will get it. Run through the middle and then shift off to the right into Monmouth territory at the Hawks 46-yard line. Things definitely getting chippy now between the two teams. Rest of the schedule, by the way, for Duquesne. They will host West Liberty next week, then start their Northeast Conference slate on the 11th of October, actually next week off, excuse me, the first week of October, host West Liberty, then be at Central Connecticut State, home here on the 18th of October for Sacred Heart, play Division II Alderson Broadus on the 25th, at St. Francis, Pennsylvania, home Bryant, at Wagner, home Robert Morris. At least schedule-wise, everything shakes out pretty good. You're playing the defending champ, Sacred Heart, here, and you're playing Bryant, a top 25 team right now, both at home.
Right. That couple of non-league games they have left should be cakewalks. And you said it, the schedule breaks out pretty well. They go to St. Francis, PA, not very far. Big game at Central, obviously, for them.
You see the delay of game taking place. Duquesne happy to abide with that. They'll put a couple of extra seconds back on the clock. Exactly a minute to go. And Duquesne will have to punt the football away. You'd think Monmouth would bring the house here looking for some kind of big play.
Agreed. You think they looked down at the schedule and they went, you meant Liberty, right? Oh, no.
West Liberty.
West Liberty. I wonder if that's in Western Virginia. Because Liberty is. That's the only reason I'm throwing that out there. Are you going to check? I'll check.
Here is Dill. Gets off a low kick. Dumas will come up and field it. Run through one tackle to 15. Cannot elude the rest of the oncoming defenders from Duquesne, West Virginia.
It is, which is appropriate. Can you guess their nickname?
The Hilltoppers.
You're looking at your phone. That's not a guess.
They're in the Mountain East Conference, which is a Division II school. So Division II West Liberty, Division II Alderson Broadus, who also Wagner is playing. They seem to have found a little niche, taken on some NEC schools. Penalty, Monmouth whistled for a block in the back. And now with 51 seconds left, barring a one-play long touchdown, and then a successful onside kick, this one about in the books for Duquesne. Hill will operate, however, with a four wide receiver package. Roll off to the right. Have to use the check down in Cheney, who slips a tackle to 20. Gets forward near a first down at the 24-yard line. 43 seconds to go. After this one for Monmouth, they will make a shorter trip to Pennsylvania, but take on the Mountain Hawks of Lehigh, a school that has dominated the series against Monmouth, and then have to make one more trip out this way towards Pittsburgh and square off against the Colonials of Robert Morris. First and 10, Hill looking near side, wanting Davenport. That's overthrown. Flag out.
He's being held the whole way. It's an easy call.
Easy, even more so, that his shoulder pad and jersey are not connected any longer.
And you also have to make at least a play to look for the football.
Lehigh, the next opponent, by the way, for Monmouth in the third quarter.
Defense number 10, 10-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
In the third quarter of their game at Yale, up 35-26. Looking for their first win of the year. Had losses to James Madison and UNH to open up the year. A tough early schedule for Lehigh. UNH, top 10 team. Now on first and 10 after the penalty. Hill getting it, rolling to his left. I'll check it to his right. Another flag is out. This is likely going to be a hold. Hill finally finds Cheney out of the backfield. He will run out of bounds to save the clock. And I think this one coming back.
Offense number 61. 10-yard penalty. Replay. First down.
The final flag numbers, Matt, in this one are going to be staggering.
A lot of penalties.
Mm. And the numbers will report in our post-game stats on our post-game show. Just the accepted ones. Got to remember that. So.
First and 20 now for Monmouth with 29 seconds to go. Hill getting the snap. Looking for something down the field. Comes left. Lets it go over the middle. Choi can't hang on to it around the 42-yard line. And it will fall incomplete. I have to think two things coming out of this game offensively, especially here in the second half. Got to be something wrong with Sterling. And we didn't see a whole lot of KB Asante either in the second half.
Yeah, that's another good point. And those are really your two best offensive players, skill-wise, if you're Monmouth. So it's a very good point and something that I'm sure you and Coach will talk about Tuesday night in the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and including a slew of other topics, getting ready for Lehigh next Saturday.
Hill again with 20 seconds now to go. Again going down, this time looking for Choi again, who will make the catch. Almost the same spot where he just dropped one to the 42-yard line. Monmouth will try and get to the line quickly here for one last play, likely with 5 seconds to go. Choi catching it, getting the first down.
Hill pass complete to Choi.
Clock will stop with 2 seconds here before they reset the chains. Monmouth will try to get one more playoff with one. Hill gets the snap. Everyone just standing around. And the ball skipping into Sumlin. Incomplete. That will do it. 30-21. First time this year Monmouth suffering defeat. We'll come back and break this one down. We'll have scores and stats, scores from around the country, stats from this one. Look ahead to next week's game against the Mountain Hawks of Lehigh. Duquesne 30, Monmouth 21. We step out for 60 seconds. Back here with more Monmouth football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here for the post-game show, which is presented by that one? Okay.
That one.
McLoone's Restaurant. Visit McLoone's.com for information on all of their great locations. This one, unfortunately, a Monmouth loss for the first time this season in 3 games. Hawks fall into Duquesne by a score of 30-21. This game swung around in the first half when Duquesne was able to score 27 consecutive points after Monmouth had gone up by a score of 7-0. 24 of those points coming in the first half. And if you look at it, the Monmouth defense yielding just 2 field goals in that second half. Crimmins with a 36-yarder and a 24-yarder. 3 field goals on the day for him. It was the offense today that just took too long and had too many missed opportunities, especially in half number one after what looked like a very easy and impressive first drive of the game.
Yeah, Matt, when Brandon Hill found Neil Sterling for a 17-yard touchdown, it capped an 11-play, 75-yard drive, and we thought, okay, this is the offense we saw in Game 1 against Delaware State, not the offense we saw against Wagner the week before. Unfortunately, Duquesne's defense set the tempo in the rest of the first half, and it wasn't until halftime when Monmouth made some adjustments that we started seeing a little more spark out of the offense, and then the Monmouth defense kind of turned it around. If you look at the middle part of this game, when Duquesne built that 27-7 lead, it just proved insurmountable. They added a couple field goals, as you said, and ultimately earning their home win today.
Yeah, they go to 2-2. Monmouth falling to 2-1 now on the season. This would be a game, I would think, if you are a Monmouth player or a coach, you'll reflect back on tomorrow when it starts to get broken down film-wise in a game of what I would say missed chances, missed opportunities. You cannot look so good in the first drive of the game and go up 7-0 and then completely kind of wrap that up and just continue to give points to the other team to score 27 in a row and then expect your offense and your defense, you know, your defense to hold but your offense to come back. A 20-point deficit at some point in the second half just becomes too much.
Well, and it becomes too much because even when we saw Monmouth get two touchdowns in a row to go 27-21, and they were chipping away, they were probably going to at least maybe have a chance to get the ball back. Missed opportunities don't necessarily always involve turnovers and drop passes and things of that nature. They were bad penalties that were at bad times. And Monmouth, which found a way to win against Wagner, they made winning plays late in that game to hang on and win. Today, did not make those plays. They did the detrimental things, the mental mistakes, the losing plays, which ultimately gave and helped get Duquesne a win, in which they played better than Monmouth for the majority of this game, but Monmouth, when they had their chances, did not come through today.
Let's take a look at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. Top 25 action in progress right now, fourth quarter. Michigan State, the number 11 team in the country, leading Eastern Michigan 73-14. Number 19, Wisconsin, with a lead over Bowling Green 65-17. Final from already today, it was number 13, Georgia, with a 66-0 win over Troy. Games coming up later on tonight, the number one team in the country, Florida State, will play host to number 22 Clemson. Second-ranked Oregon on the road at Washington State. Number 3 Alabama welcoming in Florida for an afternoon kickoff. Fourth-ranked Oklahoma will be at West Virginia. Number 6 Texas A&M at SMU. Number 8 LSU welcoming in Mississippi State. 14th-ranked South Carolina will visit Vandy. 18th-ranked Missouri playing host to Indiana. Number 21 BYU home for Virginia. And Miami will be in the Cornhusker territory to take on the 24th-ranked Nebraska team. Big South games coming up later on tonight. 5 o'clock kickoff. The next one up, it'll be Florida A&M playing host to 3-0 Coastal Carolina. The second game yet to follow, it'll be 2-1 Presbyterian at 3-0 NC State. 3-0 Charleston Southern home for a 6 o'clock kickoff with the Citadel. And Wofford will be at Gardner-Webb also at 6 o'clock. Number 24 Liberty playing host to number 25 Bryant, who's 3-0. That game, a 7 o'clock kickoff from Williams Stadium. Other games involving some Monmouth opponents, games of note. It is Fordham all over Columbia by a score of 42-0. 35-33 now, that game between Lehigh and Yale, as the Bulldogs have come almost all the way back. It's become certainly a bit of a shootout in that contest, and one of the other teams Monmouth will play, Robert Morris, getting hammered right now by Dayton. That one 31-7 in favor of the Flyers. We'll take one more quick timeout, come back with a couple of final stats and thoughts from this one. Duquesne 30, Monmouth 21. We're back in 60 seconds with the final word in this contest. The Duke's a winner. We're back with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Duquesne with a 30-21 win over Monmouth here as we wrap things up in Pittsburgh. Time to take a look at our final stats presented by World Subaru, located on Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls. Visit them online at worldsubaru.com. They think the world of their customers. Big reason why Monmouth is successful in the first 2 weeks of the year, the offense and being able to rush the football. Today, very different. 32 carries for 38 yards overall. not enough for MU to get any kind of momentum going in the rush game. A lot of emphasis on the pass today. Brandon Hill went 24 of 42 for 258 yards. All in all, the offense for MU, 76 total plays for 296 yards. On the flip side, Eddie, pretty good balance, even though a lot in the passing game. 77 total plays for Duquesne, so one more, 447 yards of total offense. The run-pass split there, 103 and 344. Dylan Beekle, 29 of 46, 344 yards, and had two touchdown passes.
Yeah, Matt said it during the course of the broadcast a couple of times. I think without seeing the rest of the other NEC quarterbacks outside of Wagner a week ago, Dylan Beekle, as impressive as you get in this league, I don't think any quarterback in this conference, no disrespect, is going to be better than him. His skill guys are very, very good on the outside. And Duquesne was able, especially in that first half, to move the ball at will through the air. Monmouth made great adjustments at halftime and played very, very sound defense in the second half. Just too much of a deficit to overcome. And you said a Beekle with a monster day, 344 and two scores.
11 catches for Devin Romming for 129 yards. 10 for 124 and two scores from Chris King. Ryan Ho led the way, 13 carries for 43 yards. A lot of penalties in this game for both teams. 9 on either side, 9 for 76 for Monmouth, 9 for 80 for Duquesne. This one, really the story of the first half. You know, as we said, 24-7 at the break, just too much of a mountain on a day where the offense, for the first time today, granted, a different offensive line with two starters out, so take that into account. Could not keep Brandon Hill upright, was sacked four times and had to scramble and was hit multiple times during the course of the afternoon.
Well, that and also if you look at the rushing number, and that's kind of the big statistic I would circle on this page. Monmouth ran for over 300 yards against Delaware State. Last week against Wagner, who has a good front seven, they still were able to move the ball on the ground. Today against Duquesne, with that new offensive line, with injured players and guys shuffling in and out, 32 total carries for 38 yards. KB Asante was held to 17 carries for 25 yards. He didn't look his normal explosive self in this game, and it was Duquesne winning the battle up front that caused this to happen.
You hope moving forward that two things offensively. One, the combination of Sterling and Asante are okay because they did not play a whole lot in that second half, so you have to get those guys healthy for the offense to be explosive. The second thing, you hope that Hunter McHugh is back next week, and you hope that Reese Johnson is able to come back next week, because the offense without those guys today, one Johnson, a fifth-year senior, and McHugh as a junior, really struggled up front short of that one first drive in which Mama took the opening kickoff, went down and scored 7-0. Time to take a look at our upcoming road game presented by Coach USA, Driven with Pride. Eddie, we're back on the road next week, back in Pennsylvania, a little bit quicker of a drive to Bethlehem, where Lehigh will play host to MU.
Yeah, Matt, and I think Monmouth is really going to chomp at the bit to get out there, take on a Lehigh team that they've never defeated, and I think, especially after last year's weird, quirky home loss to the Mountain Hawks, think they can play with this team. They know that, and they're going to look forward to going into that game in a hostile environment in Bethlehem, as you said, and put forth a good effort. It's going to be especially important after this game that they go out, play well for 60 minutes next week, at a team that's a pretty good team, playoff caliber squad every year out at Lehigh.
And a team that Monmouth has struggled with any time that they have played. They will look for a win against the Mountain Hawks next week and try to get back on the winning side. Great job today, partner, out of you. We'll talk during the course of the week. See you on Tuesday at the Coach's Show and, of course, next Saturday out at Lehigh.
Yes, sir. Great to be back on the broadcast after a week off. Thankfully, you brought me back. So I appreciate that, and great job as always. The best in the business.
All right, 30-21. Brian Sweeney 1-0. By the way, just letting you know, you are 1-1. I unfortunately take the wins and the losses.
Sure. All
of them.
I'm on the hot seat, though. I get it.
You are a little bit on the hot seat. We say a good thank you to Brian Cedillo and a heartfelt congratulations and good luck as he's moving on to a new position. Still going to be part of the company, and I'm sure around, but at least for the foreseeable future, his last role as a great job doing the engineering back in the studio. So for Brian Cedillo and Anna Iacopinti, I'm Matt Harmon. We say so long here from Pittsburgh. We're back out this way in 2 weeks, but next week in Bethlehem to take on the Mountain Hawks of Lehigh. Go to MammothHawks.com for a story update on this one. And, of course, join us Tuesday night at Jack's for the Kevin Callahan Mammoth Football Show. Final score, one more time, Duquesne 30, Mammoth 21. You've been listening to Hawks Football on the Shore Sports and Mammoth Digital Network.
This has been Monmouth Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBMAN 1160 and 1310. And ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The Monmouth University Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for powering this broadcast. Coke Zero, the refreshing taste of Coke Zero. Zero means it's game day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. World Subaru, get more for your money. McClune's Restaurants, for locations, visit McClune's.com. And the Monmouth Smoke Shop on 2nd Avenue in Long Branch. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics. For a complete schedule and more, visit MonmouthHawks.com.